So, welcome to This Week, No Shame, episode 7 we're on. So, we decided to have me as a guest. This week we decided, because a lot of people have been asking about MMA, specific questions, and especially with a lot of the stuff coming up with the Khabib fight and the Barbosa fight, and such a stacked card over the weekend, we said, sure, we'd give it a few shots on that, and the Christmas week as well. So, Robin's been off for his Christmas. How did you get on?
Eating turkey.
Ain't turkey.
It was good.
So, you know, I actually didn't eat that much turkey.
Really?
I didn't get to eat that much turkey. Now, unfortunately, on the day coming up there, I went out on the Christmas night, right? I ended up in Mead at like 1 o'clock the next day or something like that. I got home and anyway, but for 2 days, Chris, 2 days, I literally died a death. The worst hangover ever.
Fear.
I had a bit of fear as well. No, but like, it was a good night. It was all good. But it was the Christmas party, the gym Christmas party, and you know yourself, I haven't been at a Christmas party. I think it was actually my first time throwing a Christmas party.
Really?
So, yeah. And they were like, you have to do a speech and all. Like, no way. No way. But anyway, woke up in Mead, but for 2 days.
Many Brussels sprouts.
Not that many Brussels sprouts, actually, either. I literally, the day when it was getting to me Christmas dinner, that's what I was panicking about. I was panicking that I wasn't going to be able to eat. That the worst thing about being hungover was, I'm actually not going to be able to eat my Christmas dinner. But I just made it.
And where did you go? Did you go home or did you?
No, I was actually my girlfriend and his girlfriend teamed together this year. You know what I mean? We kind of scooped all the forces together. So they done their some and we done some. So then we went to his house. And it was good. It was pretty good. I don't really get the traditional Christmas dinners, you know what I mean? Like people do get all of their family and stuff like that. It's always a little small group of us somewhere. I think I like that as well. It's a bit better.
Yeah, definitely. Watch much movies?
Do you know what? I watched Jumanji. I went to see Jumanji. Did you see it?
New one.
Have you seen Jumanji?
No.
Yeah, it's class. Yeah, it really is good. The Rock is just unreal, isn't he?
Yeah.
Like, if I had to have an Instagram that wasn't my own, it would be his. You know? What a cool dude. You know, he's so motivational. All the stuff that he talks about is dead on. It's on the point. If I were to give a life advice to somebody, I'd say follow The Rock on Instagram. Do you know who I was thinking about though on the break as well? Was a friend, Damien. Christmas Day, I couldn't have think that Damien is out in the middle of the Atlantic, freezing his nuts off. And do you know what else I sussed as well? It's just the app. So there's an app. I don't know what it's called. Is it TP Tracker? Something, have you got that?
No, we don't actually have it myself.
So there's an app that you can actually follow his boat. So if you're not following Damien's Instagram, get on it. The old stock, unreal. On Christmas, I think it was Christmas Day or the day after, he woke up and the boat capsized, rolled over. He has this big, manly, gnarly black eye. And it's one of the Instagrams that I've been following for the last little while. I wake up every day, he's...
His eye was completely split open, wasn't it?
Oh, really? And what were you saying? That there was like a killer whale?
Yeah, he said in one of his updates, a killer whale circled a boat 6 times.
Dad.
And he said on the last time, looked him square in the eye. Like
square in the eye. It was only when he caught Damien's eye that he legged it. That's what it must have been. No, he's... but like, to be... It's when you're thinking of this situation, like, do you ever get cold?
Yeah.
Like, and now you're thinking about, like, you can imagine what he would have been like on Christmas Day out there. Like, how does he not get it? And he was saying that a boat went past him. And, like, even the idea of, like, withdrawing yourself from human interaction and then a boat coming past and that being, like, the highlight of your day. He's like a real-life castaway or something like that now, isn't he?
An incredible character.
He's unreal. I wonder, does he have a Wilson now?
I was going to say
Wilson!
That.
Wilson!
I actually got my sister for Christmas. I got her a Wilson ball. You can buy them. The actual with the handprint on it.
Really?
Yeah.
And you bought that?
Yeah.
So you don't need to put your hand paddy in there. Put the blood on.
She looked at it.
What
and she
a weird
was
like, present to get, man.
I know, yeah, it was random. I thought it was a masterstroke. You know what I mean? Sometimes you think outside the box.
And is she mad into it?
She looked at it and said, what the fuck is this? It's never even seen Castaway.
That is the weirdest shit I've ever heard.
Robin. I kind of wanted to keep it. Like, I might order another one for myself.
So the big fight this week, so we might as well jump into that. Khabib Barbosa, that was the one for me, for sure.
Absolutely.
There's no doubt about it. Before I even go into it, I think that there's a video of Khabib actually as a kid wrestling a bear.
Yeah.
How does this work out? Like, How do you decide to let your kid jump in and wrestle a bear? That's
that. It was a cub, and they had it on a chain. Even so,
that's okay then.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Oh, he's on a chain.
I forgot about all them safety features.
Yeah.
He wasn't a big bear. It was a small bear. It was still bigger than a kid.
Still bigger.
And anyway, the guy has wrestled. Let's say that he has serious. And you know what? He has the attitude, but he definitely lacks in the striking department. The idea of now I'm no expert to be talking about it, but I know if the fight that everybody wants to happen. Everyone's picking straight away. Even the bookies changed, and it's like Conor's now not the favourite to be beating Khabib, and I don't think so. From watching that fight, just from my point of view, Barbosa's takedown defence was not solid. You know, he wasn't using underhooks against the fence. He wasn't stuffing the head. He wasn't striking a lot where Khabib was trying to take him down. And then there is a time or two in the fight where he fights off the takedown, but then on the second attempt, he kind of. I guess taken down on it. Now I could see, I would love to see a camera in Conor's house where that fight was going on. I'd say he was up on the sofa, perched on the counter on the other side, you know, just because it's definitely one of them fights I'd like to see. But I can't see Khabib taking Conor down. The man is an animal, there's no doubt about it. The man can wrestle, but he's very wide open, striking wise, closing the distance on Conor is going to be it's going to be a very, very hard task every time. And he's going to get hit.
Are there any fighters like that in Ireland, similar style, would you say?
To Khabib?
In SPG, for example.
Yeah, I say Richie Smullen is.
Yeah.
Richie Smullen's like an Arklow Khabib, you know what I mean? Yeah, I'd say Richie's very, very close style to him. Real heavy grappling, aggressive grappling, constantly swarms you, constantly beating you up style. But as I said, like, when I was sitting there watching the fight, to see that Barbosa wasn't using the first thing he initially didn't do when he hit the fence was go on an underhook. He accepted the overhook a lot of the time. He didn't stuff the head a lot of the time. And when he got to the fence, he kind of he rested a little bit. Another thing is when he was down on the double, so when Khabib was down on the double, he didn't shuffle. So he didn't like kind of change his stance to shuffle his legs and force Khabib to pick up the single leg, which is not something you really want him on, a single leg, but I think there has to be some sort of system to stop and take him down. There really is. I think Conor will find it. Conor will be like a cat. It'd be very hard to stay down, and Khabib hasn't lost a round. That's the rumour on the street.
Yeah,
you know?
His coach said he's never even lost one in training.
Yeah, his style kind of leans towards always winning a round, if you must. Now, not always finishing a round, but his style leans towards always winning a round because he's constantly trying to take you down. If he gets 2-3 takedowns, it's very hard to come back from that on the scorecard. But finishing wise, it's not dangerous, you know what I mean? Yeah, he doesn't look like he's going to finish people. It would have been, he needed to finish Barbosa the other night, I think. And I think he's the first person to get a bonus for the performance of the night. Well deserved. I think it was like, was it 30-24 on the sports scorecards or something?
It was like, I think every round was 10-8, wasn't it?
Yeah, like that's a ridiculous. Now, hats off to that. It's ridiculous, you know what I mean?
And the thing is, they were saying as well, Las Vegas still use the old rules, which is, it's a classic 10-8, like, which is even harder to get.
Yeah.
But he said, I could have finished them if I wanted, but I wanted to sort of have fun out there.
No. Maybe, but he hasn't got a lot of time in over the last little while. The last little while, regarding time in the octagon, that does count as well, you know what I mean? It counts. But on the other hand, he could be fresh coming in because he hasn't been banged up and been training as hard because he's been injured and he's been coming over them stuff as well. But to me, if you asked me what my dream matchup would be, I think Conor fought him in Russia. That would motivate Conor as well. It would motivate. You can imagine the Irish people going to Russia. You know what I mean? We'd be all down in Aldi getting all the ski wearing. You know what I mean? No, I can imagine Russia would be like a Rocky film. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
that'd
Rocky
be straight out of fucking Rocky. That would be.
Think of the montages.
Oh, 100%. You'd have to rent the exact same cabin. There's no other way to do it. You could be at the bottom of Russia and it's like, I want the one that Rocky had. You know,
we could do like an episode of No Shame in the shed, just around the corner from the cabin.
You just have a constant loop, Mickey on constant loop. You know what I mean? Go get him, champ.
Yeah. See him running up a mountain in the snow.
Of course. Yeah, you would have to do everything the same way. You would just, you'd have to just jet all the other training, you just throw it out the window. It'd have to be just Rocky training only, because it worked. Remember, it worked.
Hey, Connor's a fan of Rocky, is he?
I think everyone is. Yeah. I think, I don't think you'll find a fight fan out there, or a fighter out there that'll say that he didn't watch Rocky as a kid. You know what I mean? Rocky's the classic. Yeah, films over Christmas, as you were saying. I watched Rocky over Christmas. Obviously, no classic Rocky. What's your favourite Rocky?
From a film point of view, the first one is probably the most accomplished, but from Rocky IV, just for the montages, I think it's just...
I think the first one is a good... The way he loses in the first one is perfect. You know what I mean? Now, it's a little bit sickening as well, kind of announce the film. You'd be like, where does the hero always win? Oh, that's why. Because it's actually a little bit of a letdown when he doesn't.
Yeah.
But the Russian one, that's... I don't know, what is that?
Rocky IV, yeah.
Rocky IV, yeah.
Montage after montage after montage. It's epic.
It's awesome. It really is.
The best game plan in any of the Rocky movies, I felt, was Rocky 3. Because Apollo, you know, Rocky was aging, and he said, you've got inside 5 rounds to do this. Like, and, you know, Rocky came out and he finished him in, was it the third? I think it was the third round or the second round he finishes him. Like, and all the other fights go the distance, you know, like, and it's just, but he actually went into that one, like, it was a rematch against Clover Lang, the Mr. T character.
Yeah.
So, he had to do it. Yeah. Apollo says to him, no, you got to do this inside, like, 4 rounds or whatever. You can't, if it goes past that, you're going to lose the fight, like, so, like.
And he gets it done.
That is a classic with the Eye of the Tiger. You know, you got to get the Eye of the Tiger back, Rock. Did a running
on the beach. It's a true thing as well. Yeah. I think the Eye of the Tiger is probably there. It is a true thing. You cannot lose the Eye of the Tiger. If you lose that, you're just an ordinary civilian again. You know what I mean? That's what separates people. But saying that, as I'm like talking about that Rocky, and when they're measuring the power. So your man Francis, what, Ngannou?
Ngannou.
Like, what if, like, a fighter pops up every now and again, and all of a sudden, they're just this phenom. You know what I mean? Like, some of the stuff I've been hearing with him is like, it's like a kid telling you down the road about like a superhero, you know what I mean? He can fire like thunder from his arse, you know what I mean? That's what it's like. It's getting to that now. It's like someone telling me the other day that they've measured his power, and it's the same power as the point if you hit it with a sledgehammer. That can't be true.
He trains in the UFC Performance Center the whole time. They say he practically lives there. Joe Rogan. He was doing an Instagram story of the center the other day, and he was going through everything. They basically have like created a place that's so cool that they want the fighters to stay there the whole time. Like, and he says Francis Ngannou practically lives there. Like, you know, they got sleep chambers, sleep pods, and everything. And I think that's where they measured his punching power. Because they've like stayed there. I'd believe it. I'd say he could, like.
But isn't it crazy that in that Rocky, even look, that the state-of-the-art equipment was like, wow, it was like all digital and stuff like that and all. Like, imagine how hard that would have been to figure out back then. Like, back then they were like, this is going to be deadly. This is where he's in, like, the future chamber. And now it's like, you'd buy them Tyrion deals, wouldn't you? Like, 149 for an Ivan Drago.
You can hit the punching bag in the, excuse me, you can hit the punching bag in the amusements. Gives you your score back.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Yeah, you did that.
Oh, I'm number one on that. I'm number one, yeah.
You bet Kenny Egan.
And I've been some other boxers. I've been some boxers. There's one girl, I can't remember her name, but she beat me in a rally competition as well this year. She plays hurling.
Oh, yeah?
I'm the worst at them.
What county did she play for?
Play for Cork.
Cork. Oh, she's on Fitz Family, isn't she?
I think so. But anyway, but she did... up in the 800s as well, right. You know what I mean? Yeah, but like, that's them hurdlers, you know what I mean, as well, you know what I mean? You don't be messing with them, lads. And people say, don't be fighting hurling, lads, you know what I mean?
The thing about Rocky IV as well was, you know, the montage, one of the last, there's so many, but one of the last ones where Rocky's training, it's the final build-up to the fight, and they just allude to the fact that Russian was taking, like, performance enhancing drugs or something. If you watch it back, it's like, it's just a really quick shot, like in the middle of all the high tech training and all that. Yeah. It just cuts to Drago looking up and a needle, like just going into an arm or like, something like that.
Don't forget the roids. That's what it's like, you know. What I mean? Like yeah. That's not even nearly racist, isn't it? Not?
No. Oh
like,
god.
Even on that, like my own kid this day, we saw him for Christmas. So he got one of the hoverboard things, right? But this is what he says to me. He's studying his maths for Christmas. And I rings him that morning. I was like, there's loads of stuff downstairs for you. Yeah, so like Santa still comes to our house and stuff like that. So he's like, really? He's like, I'm about to get loads of stuff. I'm like, right. He's like, see all the stuff downstairs, Dad? You could just give that to charity. That's what he says to me. And I'm
no
like,
way.
Now, I was proud of him. I was slightly proud of him. But I felt like punching him in the head as well. You know what I'm saying? Because it's not as easy as people are now going out and getting that Santa stuff and figuring out what they want when it's a week before and they're like, actually, I don't want all of that stuff. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? But like, he stayed with this one. Now, he's late on the aero board thing, so whatever it is, but my God, how do kids not die on Christmas Day with yeah, them aero boards?
Scary. I got one as well.
Did you? Are you any use in it? How do you, the only way you find out that you're no use on it is being sprawled out on your back, split open.
Yeah,
it's the only way.
You
there's
just
no way.
Go for it.
How do you step onto the thing? Like,
that's the hardest thing, isn't it?
It's like stepping onto. Do you know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of an old lady in a shopping centre trying to step onto, you know, one of the elevators where the step comes up. She's like, Dumb and Dumber. Oh no, Elf. Sorry, I not Philip.
Yeah,
Elf.
Yeah,
where
yeah.
Stepping onto
yeah,
the yoke.
Yeah.
That's
what
it's like.
No, it's 100% what it's like.
Now I had a go at it, but then when you're going on it, it's the shit it is. But then he's flying around deep squat, down deep squat.
I've seen that
flying around like little Yoda on the thing.
I've seen that in your story, and then I tried it.
Did you try it?
Yeah, I fell flat on my ass.
That's impressive, isn't it?
Oh,
we can't even get off the thing, and he's flying around deep squat. You know what I mean?
No.
But then I lost my tail on that story. Oh yeah, he went to Manchester as well. So he went to AFC United with his mum. And he got this t-shirt, right? And I had IA Scouters, right? Under it, right? And it's like, and a devil on the front of it's like, I'd rather walk along. Now, my guy from NBA from Liverpool, like, he was like, oh, that's funny. And then he ends up saying to his man, hold on, is that racist, actually? You know what I mean? So he's 10, and he's like, he's stuck in this little bubble of like, what is racist and what's not racist? You know what I mean? He's like, because if someone got a t-shirt saying like, IA Ireland, we'd go mad. Like,
kids are so clever.
Kids
these
are
days.
Clever. He's on the ball. He is on the ball.
So they grow up so fast. When you were 10.
Oh, man. When I was 10, I was gobshite. No, when I was 10, I was wild, man. Wild. And like, literally, A Road was like, I probably said this loads of times. Like, we had this big field in front of us called the Muckers. If anybody remembers it, Jobstown to be. And like, literally, there was horses and like sheep and cows, and it was like an extension of the mountains into a council estate. It was perfect, you know what I mean? A jungle within the jungle. And like there was like stingers and bases and trees, and we spent most of our life in there. That, I'd say there's actually that sequence that going around this Christmas, like I'm gonna say it now because but it didn't touch me. And I've probably been around loads of sick people. I'm immune. I'm like, I'd say X-Men from them Muckers. Don't know why, but we used to get these immunities. I'd say we were kids coming back into our houses glowing. You know what I mean? It's radioactive from them fields, man. But
yeah, I didn't get it. I think it's funny with that thing. It's a lottery every year. Some years you get it at Christmas, some years you don't. And the years where you don't get it, you're like, see, that's because I'm on a drink. Like, it sort of boosts my defense. And then the years that you do get it, you're like, that's the fucking drink. Like, if I wasn't on that drink, I wouldn't have had it.
I'm telling you now, and you know what the classic Irish one is? Look, as I was saying about that hangover, like, I was convinced that I was at the being, like, hypnotised to never drink again. Like, if I had to walk through a duty free or that like that, I would have fell on the ground getting sick. I was bad, worst hangover ever. But then I went to the Wolf Tones, so actually a great little gig. I go to the Wolf Tones every year, my uncle's, he's fiercely, you know what I mean? He's into it. You know what I mean? So I went with him and his girlfriend, my own girlfriend, and like Chelsea being from Liverpool as well, from England, is she's Irish now, you know what I mean? She's being educated through via Wolf Tones. Probably not the best education, no, but another great session. My uncle drinks about 15 points, and she only comes down the next morning and says, see that last point? think that last point was a bit bonky, right? And I'm like, that's classic Irish, it is. Yeah. Like, nothing to do with the 14 points before that, no. No, it was the last one. It was just a bit sooty or something off the glass, and all of a sudden I had the craps and all after. I was like, you know, I don't know how Irish people do it. And he literally convinced themselves. There's no...
What was he drinking, Guinness?
No. 14 points of Guinness, geez. I don't know if there's a man on the island for that. Would you... Yeah, he's like, oh no man. No, he's drinking Coors Light, I think it was.
Oh yeah.
It was a bad, like, and you know what, it was just like, I said it to the guy when I went outside, because every now and again I'd like after a few points I'd like a cheeky like Jager bomb, and nobody drinks Jager bombs. Like, I like drinking it. Like, I don't pop it in and have to drink it all in one or not. I just pop it in and drink it while I'm waiting on me point. Right. And it gets to a stage where you're like, how many of them have I had? Did I have one yet? Hold on, point's still on its way. Get another one. Right? And the girl goes to me at the bar, sorry, on this side, we're not going to serve spirits. And I was just about to go, ha! I was like, do you know what? I'm going to thank you for this. You know, like, she was literally an angel there that night. And everyone was grand. But when you introduce the spirits, it's like the rope goes around the room, the music starts, and it's like, pulls in the mischief.
I've heard of people that switch to shorts, but not switching to shorts while they're waiting for their points.
Yeah, that's me. I'm a shorts waiting kind of guy.
That's probably why you were dying on Christmas morning.
Literally. I got this whiskey. It was actually Joey Breslin that bought me it, right? And I cannot drink whiskey. I'm allergic to whiskey. I have to be, right? Now, and people buying me lovely bottles of expensive whiskey and brandy and stuff like that as well. And I'm like, yeah, how do you say no? Because I'm going to end up just, if I turn into an alcoholic when I'm older, I'm going to have a good time. Because I've piles of whiskey I do, you know what I mean? But Joey gets me this like thing on a tray. It's like an applewood whiskey or something like that. You a whiskey drinker? You were,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, if you put.
Life wasn't going great, so I just said I'll pick up the whiskey for a bit of crack. Like this platter, and it's this fishbowl over it, and it's like full of smoke. Right? Now, we thought you like lift up the oak and like suck the smoke or something like that, but you don't. So they bore an apple wood in under it, and there's like fruit and stuff like that in the whiskey. And takes out the top of it, this big cloud, and this whiskey is just standing there like a naked lady, if you must, you know what I mean? And it was beautiful. But right away after it, it was like, it's a different, it hits you different, you know? Whiskey is a drunker drunk.
What's your favourite?
Whiskey? I think people get the idea, like, that people, Paddy loves whiskey because of the time me and Connor drink whiskey in that Boston, you know? You know what I mean? Now, I wasn't into drinking that whiskey until I found out that whiskey was worth about 20 grand. You know what I mean? The way I was doing it, every sup is a few euros. You know what I mean? I'm drinking gold here. That's the way I was thinking of it. And it could have tasted like bleeding camel piss, and you still would have drank it. If it's 20 grand, it's 20 grand. You have to.
What did you say to him at that press conference? I remember he was drinking it, and you said something to him to get hold of the glass. It was like, give me that or something.
Give us a shot of that. Because he was only at the being saying that it was 20 grand, and I was like, it's a job, it's up for that. We didn't know, like, I don't, you know what I mean? I think it got left there. Anyway, it got left in a hotel room or something like that, that bottle of whiskey did.
That was Boston, was it?
Boston, yeah.
I was watching some of the behind the scenes of that there. It was around the time of the Mayweather build-up. Mm-hmm. I was waiting for one of the live press conferences, and you win your fight, and you walk in afterwards, and you're all, like, suited to the max, and all the boys are like, hey, Paddy's off the court there.
That's our show, you know, like, one of the biggest moments of your life is like, stick him out of it. Oh, no, court. No, they were like, see, the dressing rooms goes in waves, and people are at work, so one bus goes so far, like, say, the prelims, and then the main card will come in after that. So as people come in, it's already processed, and your names are on the doors. You go in, and all your Reebok stuff is hanging up. Fortunately, you should put your check in the pocket. They don't. So all your Reebok's hanging up, your bags there, all your gear's there, and all. So it's such an incredible thing to walk straight into it, like, for the first time. Like, that'll definitely be something I'd say to one of my own guys if they were like, enjoy this moment. You know what I mean? You're going in, it's like your kit is hanging up if you must. And that, like, people do select the Reebok thing to. To me, that was a real wow. You're a fire. You made it. You know, like the way a footballer goes in, and if the jersey lined up and everything's ready and all the teams hooked up and all. But on that one, it was like, I don't know if that was like that, but that was the dressing room that we had there. Was like this little room. We stuck an Ireland flag up, put the mats up, made it our own way. It was like Ireland for a few little seconds, and obviously, look, I was the forced out again, you know what I mean? Cottle was on then after me. And it's just one of them situations where it's a scary little place where it's like, you wouldn't rather be anywhere else, you know what I mean? But Boston was there. There was people coming up to us speaking like in Gaelic and Boston. I'd really? Never spoke, you know, I'd never been in Ireland. And I'm like, Sha! Legging it. My Gaelic is not good, you know what I mean? But it's incredible to see what Irish people like do. Like, even there's a place in Boston where, you know, the way on the keys they have like all the people leaving for like the flight of the Earls and the idea of leaving from the famine.
Yeah.
And in Boston, they have the arrival. Like, so they have the actual statues where the Irish got off the boat. Seeing that and I was like, that's incredible. It's one of these things that for all of that distance and all of that time, people still remember that stuff. And even all the names that you'll see around the town, a lot of them are Irish. And a lot of them are CEOs in banks and all now because they're all Irish, you know what I mean? Infestation, not invading.
you and Ariel did a great piece out there. With the tea.
That was actually my idea as well. I wanted to go see that Boston Tea Party, okay? I was dying to see that Boston Tea Party thing because I remember in school doing it, like doing the idea and like everyone's done the Boston Tea Party where it was about the Indians or the locals dressed up and blamed the Indians and they're still doing things and blaming other people for it, you know what I mean? But it goes to show how deep it goes, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Like now it's more blatant. Now would you wake up on your phone and you're like, are we at World War or are we not at World War? You know what I mean? Like, the mad thing is, like, this is probably a chance this year that we're going to find out that there's another war coming via Twitter.
Yeah.
So,
Donald Trump, I mean, we were talking about it there just before he went on, but the recent tweet, I have it here, I'll read it out. So he said yesterday, North Korean leader Kim Jong-un just stated that the nuclear button is on his desk at all times. Will someone from his depleted and food-starved regime please inform him that I have a nuclear button, but it's a much bigger and more powerful one than his, and my button works. That's the President of the United States.
Like, the thing is, you can't mess with that. You can't mess, like, you really cannot. The thing is, like, you can imagine people that are, like, you know, with the guys that prepare for war and Armageddon. Oh, it's coming. Like, they're the type of people that, like, enjoy the stuff. There's only a small minuscule of people, but then you have people that are just ordinary Joes having to listen to that. Like, that's the one of the most powerful men in the world, you know what I mean? Now, I actually thought he was going to do well when he went in because he's a businessman, and I think that like a country kind of is like a business. But I was only saying to my son as well the same idea, as a leader of a country, when you're a businessman, it's not people losing their jobs, it's not you doing someone over, it's not money, even though that is bad. It's people dying, it's you're starting stuff in countries that is going to ignite other stuff to happen, you know what I mean? That was I was watching a thing last night, Tommy Tiernan was on, and he had the Muslim representative for in Ireland.
Yeah.
And he was talking about like the idea of like the Muslim race being made out to be terrorists, to be like blackened the kind of way, the same way the Irish were. And it's one of them things where you're saying, like, they literally have the power to blacken anything that they want to do, you know what I mean? They can turn up at one part of a country and start a war, and people won't even question it, because now all of that side of the world, you know, in European or in the Western side of the world, it's all the same in a sad way of looking at it, you know what I mean? So now all of that stuff's going on in Iraq, all of that stuff's going on in the Middle East, and then the other side is going to be with North Korea, and like, how does that end? You've got two guys that are probably not that, like, I've never had to back down, I've never had to kind of take a step back and take a deep breath and admit that they were wrong about something, and they control one of the most deadliest things on the planet, you know what I mean? And I know for a fact that if these guys, for the countries that they live in, a nuclear war probably wouldn't even affect their country. Do you know what I mean? From the idea of they'll have a place to go, they'll have all this sorted, because if you had nuclear weapons and you were threatening somebody, you're gonna cover yourself or cover your side on that. You know what I mean? And I think all the other countries are going to be the ones that get caught in the middle of it if it happens. I think they should just get rid of it. They should make the two of them fight. I've said this before. The two of them should have to get down into their nappies and fight each other. You know what I mean? Even slaps. Just slaps. No fists. Just slap each other till they're raw. You know what I mean?
Just the two of them in the middle or anything like that.
Or a steering match or something like that. You know what I mean? Yeah. Something less nuclear would be brilliant, lads. Please.
Yeah, Trump would definitely get like them. This, like, he'd just get some big bulk stunt double with the wig on or something. Like, no, that's me.
That's the truth as well. That is, and yeah. The idea of Trump being the guy out home alone.
Oh my god!
And now doing all this shit, like,
you know, they said on the subject there, Christmas movies, Back to the Future was on. They said Biff Tannen's character,
that was brilliant,
was based on Donald Trump. Like, the, do you know when he goes into the alternative reality in the second one?
Biff, the actual,
and
the
Biff
buddy?
Has his terror, and he's married to Marty McFly's mom. Character there, the rich Biff Tannen in the alternate reality, they said was based off Donald Trump. Like,
that's why he's here. You know, that's incredible information. Yeah. But Back to the Future, another great film, isn't it?
Amazing,
really. Like, Newfoundland's like, Back to the Future's on. And I'm like, what a timeless film. You know what I mean?
What a movie. Yeah. Oh.
Your granny would have been calling you. Back to the Future's on. You know what I mean? I was telling about the ride that used to be in Universal Studio. The Back to the Future ride. Yeah, as a kid. I've went on about two or three times. But as a kid, that was incredible. Going into the dinosaur's mouth and all. And then I was thinking, like, actually would be a little bit sad going back somewhere like that now, because you'd expect all this stuff. Because even when I'm teaching the kids classes, who was it I mentioned yesterday? Robbie Keane, I mentioned yesterday. I was doing cartwheels, you know, like, well, John knew how to do a cartwheel. And I was like, you know the kind of way Robbie Keane does it? And they were like,
oh, wait.
Who? You know what I mean? And I was like, don't even start mentioning me, mention Niall Quinn here. You know what I mean? Any of these boys. And they'd be like, yeah. Niall, who? You know what I mean?
They just, sad, isn't it?
No, they just don't know now. But do you know what? It is sad. Oh, we're just old farts. They're getting old.
It's probably a little bit of both. The most Irish answer ever. A little bit of both. yes and no.
Yeah, I do like it. What about the Holly Holm for you? What did you think?
I was very, first off, like, Holly Holm's got heart, doesn't she?
Man, what a scrap.
I was surprised that it was 3-2, though. I never thought Cyborg was in danger of losing a fight.
I think she dominated, to be honest. Really did. Who's going to be? Who's going to be who? You know what I mean? And it was only when her record came up that I was like, holy shit. She's like 19-1 now. Like, who's beat her?
I don't know. That must have been early on.
But that's an incredible record, isn't it? And then, I don't know, was it something to do with Winklejohns came out and was calling her?
The photographer, Holly Holm's official photographer, he put a picture of her up, but it was very distasteful. He was referring to her as
a he,
basically.
What the fuck?
I know. And she's seen that, and she's very upset by it, because, I mean, she's a woman.
And she's an emote, you can see it. She's not, I don't think, I won't go out on a whim saying I know her, but, even looking at her, I wouldn't say she's as tough as she comes across, you know what I mean? She seems as like a very kind of like, she's in a situation where everyone's like, she's an animal, she will kill anybody, but she feels, I'd say, in herself, like a little bit mad with that pressure for that, you know what I mean? Where a lot of guys guys like John Jones and stuff like that, that would like feed that up, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, and you've got other guys that all of a sudden it builds a pressure on it, like Sage Norco, you know what I mean? He got a lot of pressure on him at the start. Doing all right, really. Doing well, really. Yeah. Still doing all right.
The thing I see a lot about MMA is just, as much as it's about fighting, it's about respect.
Yeah.
And everyone in MMA, they're mannered and, nicest people you can meet. And for people that could kill you like that, you don't feel one bit intimidated around them. So, to turn around and refer to them it's very sort of disrespectful. That's not what MMA is about, you know?
Yeah. No, and there's no, do you know what? He apologised for it as well. I think he came out and done an apology for it as well, so you'd have to kind of let him off for it in that way. But he must have been drunk. He's on the wiki. He had a few whiskeys in him, he must have, you know what I mean, writing that. Thought, this is going to be funny.
Yeah, maybe it was a joke, just a bad taste.
Everyone can do it. Everyone can do it. I'm the worst at it, you know what I mean? Now, if we could record some stuff that goes on between me, around me mates, I'd be in jail. That's for sure. And some of the jokes are like there.
It is being recorded, Paddy.
Oh, yeah. Shit. some of the jokes are they fall off, and they wouldn't be terrible, but they just in your head they sound better. You know what I mean? Yeah. You just maybe read that Twitter post a few times before you stick her up.
Oh yeah, and even then you still forget to take out that really bad word. Like, how did I get in there?
Yeah. So, but Holly looked big, didn't she? Yeah. Look, Holly looked bloated.
Yeah, she was stepping up.
You were stepping up in a weight class. That's what when I was watching it, that's what Chelsea was saying. Like, she's going up in a weight class, but she looked bloated. Like, she looked, I don't know if she looked heavy, but not like overweight. You know what I mean? I think the reload, I don't know, but what a warrior, man. Absolute warrior.
She's a hero. That fight, Ramesha Tate got her in the final round, like, put her to sleep. Like, she would not tap.
No, she is tough as nails, she is. And she's had a hard one, hadn't she? And then another guy, my old, someone who, Lewis Smoker, whooped my ass, and he's on a bad rook as well now, you know what I mean? And, like, it doesn't even display him as a fighter. He's an animal, you know what I mean? But the guy he fought as well, I can't remember his name. One of the worst of names in the world, you know what I mean? People are like, your man, that fought your man.
Well, like, that's Irish, isn't it?
Irish, isn't it? Even the kids, I'm like, Johnny, the little, get over there, you know what I mean? And I'm like, him, you go with him.
There's a friend of mine, I used to play rugby with, he came over from New Zealand, and it was the first time in Ireland, and he met the guy with the new club he was playing with, and this coach kept telling him about your man, and he was like, after the meeting, he's like, who the hell was the man he was talking about? He didn't get it, you know?
You'll get it, like, someone will say to you, go out and get the thing on the yoke, and you'll know exactly what they're on about. That is Irish FBI talk, you know what I mean? Like, pure secrecy.
So, obviously, everyone's talking about Khabib and Conor on Twitter.
Mm.
What you make of that?
I think Conor won the fourth round, if you ask me, dude. Yeah. The way Conor's looking at it, I'd say at that level, it's like, it was a fourth round, or it was a decision win over somebody, and he just kind of like held them and mauled them, and it was an impressive win, no doubt. But I think the level that kind of Conor's operating with, like, flying around at Demetrius Johnson stuff, where the guys are absolute like just ninjas that casting spells on people and that dropping, you know what I mean? So, like, I think that's what Conor was making when he was referencing towards, like, that was Dagestani piece of shit. Is that what he said?
Yeah.
What a lion. The man's a madman.
I have the exchange here. That Dagestani was dog shit the other night. Yous are all nuts. Game full of sloppy bums, asking to be slept. Pay me my work and King's back.
It's true as well.
And he added, truly, truly, get on your fucking knees and beg me. Otherwise, I don't give a bollocks. My whiskey's out this year, and that's Diddy Bread. And he followed on, Diddy Bread, on top of Diddy Bread. So Khabib just replied and said, shut up. Hashtag
top what a machine. Comeback.
Hashtag, yeah. I'll tell you one thing about Khabib, though. He did go on. He's good at Photoshop, whoever's Photoshopping for him. Fair play, it was a good Photoshop.
Yeah.
But little one-liners, you know, Conor's stuff can be very, like, articulate, like, and, you know.
Deep.
Yeah. Whereas, like, one-liners, you know, hashtag tap out, hashtag chicken, like, all that stuff, it's like, Conor doesn't do that, you know. No. He doesn't, and a lot of these guys retweet stuff that's sent on to them, you know. Conor, it all comes from him.
That's what changed it. That's why I think he does deserve his worth. Like, and the money would be probably in Russia. And there's some Russian sitting over there, and he'd be like, I've got 100 million. You know? Yeah. That's what I'd be doing if it was him. You know what I mean? Sitting around for that. Because, like, at the end of the day, you need to get your worth. It's the fight game. And they're like, give the fans what they want and all that. Well, you know, the fans are not going to bleed and look after you when you're broke up with you, if that's the story, you know what I mean? Because at the end of this game, when it gets cold and it's coming into the winter and you start getting pains in your knees and your elbows and all that, no one else gets that, you know? So you need as much as you can get.
Yeah.
And what's the Russian fan base like in MMA?
Artem does so much loads over Russia. See, actually, Artem's always trying to bleed Muslim forces and all, special forces and all.
Seen that?
Yeah, all the Americans are going to be getting tiger uppercuts now. You ever see it? Oh, yeah, tiger uppercut. I mean, knocking them out. But, like, all the flying around little Artem's, zhoosh, zhoosh. But, like, that Artem's huge over there, you know what I mean? Like,
he looked sharp in the suit, didn't he?
Oh, what a man. Artem's a cool dude, you know what I mean? There's a great photo of us all years ago, and he's like so young, and he looks so, like Artem used to do ballroom dancing. So I'm going to get him in, actually. He'd be a story. And then another, a few people actually lined up already. John Phillips, have him down the end of the thing as well. And like he's hilarious, man. I can't wait to get him in as well. If you're listening, John, you're a funny fucker. Make sure you bring your telephone as well. Do you ever see the thing he's doing on his telephone?
The Welsh are a special breed.
100%. And another guy, and I've always been a fan of him, Brett Johns. He's in there now. This is the year the Welsh, he's saying. And I remember seeing him fighting, right? He fought 8 rounds in the same night for Cage Warriors, right? In a tournament. 8 rounds, boys, to win the belt. And do you know what? Did he even get it in the end? I think he did. He fought one of Cardiff Transwell's guys. It was there at Cage Warriors in London. It was Cardiff on London. Cardiff was. And 8 rounds in the same night. Little monster he is. I've been a fan of him since then. And like, he's going to be a huge star, I think, in the UFC. Like, man comes to scrap. You can't beat that.
Oh, absolutely. Just before we move on from 219 there, I just wanted to know what you thought about the new UFC logo, the 25 years logo.
It doesn't look great, doesn't it?
No. It looks, as you said beforehand, it looks like an NS.
Yeah, it looks S5 or was it 25? It looks like, yeah. 2S. That's what it looks like. It looks like a 25 stuffed into an egg cup. That's what it looks like. I don't know, but like as I said, the guys are getting away with playing. These designers and stuff like that, some days are stealing a living. I don't know, they're trying to bring in a certain direction, but sometimes you see some logos and all these days, and it's like, wow, but who approved that? Who was, do you know what I mean? But going back to actually, sorry, I mean, coming into my head. When the whole Donald Trump thing was going on, did you see what KFC tweeted to McDonald's?
I have it here. I'll read it.
Did you see
it? Oh, man. This, and that was, it was the UK and Ireland one as well.
If
so
we're
quick.
Talking about like nuclear war and Ronald McDonald and the chief or the captain of at the same time, what the fuck is going on, boys?
That's them. Yeah.
That's mental. You nuclear know. War and McDonald's and KFC all together.
If you don't laugh, you'll cry.
That's the way it is. I'm just hiding in my little house, in my humble abode in Jobstown with my fire, and that'll be it. And when this is all kicking off, they can just keep me out of it.
You're working on a bunker, are you?
Oh, I have a bunker, yeah. Manhole out the back garden.
So the KFC tweet, McDonald's leader Ronald just stated he has a burger on his desk at all times. Will someone from his big-shoed red-nose regime inform him that I too have a burger on my desk, but mine is a box meal, which is bigger and more powerful than his, and mine has gravy. # nuclear button. It's so quick.
Who decides to say, do you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to tweet Ronald McDonald over all this Trump stuff going on.
Yeah, the worst, I know. Fuckers. It's like the manager's like, what the hell did you do that for? And then it's like 200,000 tweets. Good job.
Yeah. You keep, this is your new job. You know what I mean?
So how about that pay rise? Shut up. You're lucky not to be fired.
It's a true story. Like.
Just moving on to, obviously, in between 219 and 220, there's a fight night. This episode goes out on Tuesday, so it'll be a fight night that coming weekend.
Yeah.
Doho Choi headlines against Jeremy Stephens.
Right.
Interesting thing about Doho Choi, he's from South Korea. He actually has to do a minimum of 2 years military service. So this is his last year of fighting before he has to go do that. It's mandatory in South Korea. So he's in a rush to get a title shot.
He's in a rush to get into the army.
Pressure,
that is like, and he, like, what have you died like?
I know.
He's no choice to just.
Particularly this day and age, like South Korea is right beside North Korea.
Like if it all kicks off, there's some sort of link they were making yesterday. I just skip past the news now as well sometimes, but they were making a link, was there not? The North Korean and South Korean leaders kind of linking back up again or something.
Hopefully. Really?
Yeah. Maybe that's maybe that's wrong. Because you were saying as well before this that that's only a ceasefire. It's still war there, isn't it?
They're still at war. They had an armistice at the end of the Korean War, and the I think it's the 51st parallel, maybe someone might correct me on that, but that's the most heavily defended area in the earth because they could go to war at any minute.
And they're going to be, and they would be lobbing nukes down the border, like.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I'd be grand.
Yeah.
Just lob a small one. Do you know what I mean?
How do you think that fight's going to go? I mean, Doho Choi had a great, he had a great win there against Cub Swanson recently.
Yeah. He's
fighting Jeremy Stevens.
Jeremy Stevens, they who the fuck is that guy?
Yeah.
And now, he comes to scrap. He'll give him that, you know what I mean? But now, the worst thing is his legacy is the who the fuck is that guy from now on, you know what I mean? There's no doubt that's going to be a banger, you know what I mean? And where is it?
God, I don't know, actually. Let me check. The awkward silence of the week goes here.
Is it Texas or something like that,
too? I will tell you now.
That's, he's a serious guy, your man, Do Young Choi.
Yeah. But like, he's a good fighter, good record, too. He had two recent fights didn't go so well for him, and then that great win against Cub Swanson. So, right back up there. Like, this is the same division as Holloway, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Featherweight.
Mm-hmm.
Fight Night 1-2-4.
I think it's in Texas, is it?
It is.
I could be totally wrong with that. Could be totally wrong.
Just name random cities. And
random cities.
Might get one wrong.
Go!
Yeah. Texas. Toronto. St. Louis.
St. Louis.
Yeah. Were we close?
It goes down so much as well. Like, the UFC, like, it's on every weekend as well now. I think they're running out of superstars. Like, do you remember the weeks where it used to be on once a month? And, like GSP be fighting, like, Matt Hughes or something like that. And it'd be, like, that was the build-up to it. Like, it'd be like wrestling, when wrestling was, like, WrestleMania at the end of the month and Raw was the end of the month. Now it's, like, they started off Saturday morning, 12 o'clock, and then it's like, then it's Sunday morning, then it was Monday, then it was, and I could have watered it down a little tiny
bit.
Very
difficult to keep that momentum.
100%. Well, and like, when you inject like kind of water into the concentrate, it just dilutes it down, doesn't it? And like, that's the thing that's happening with the UFC a little bit there. Now, as a fight fan, like, when I'm watching, sometimes it's not even about like who's fighting, it's about what's going on. Like, if you're watching, I'm watching a body type, you know what I mean? I'm trying to get material for classes and stuff like that, and it doesn't even turn into, like, you become a fan with somebody by just what they're doing, you know what I mean? And there's a lot of guys, as I said, I'd be like, you know, your man, I fought your man. And I'd have them over the history, and I'd become a fan over guys by just watching them, you know what I mean? So, and I could end up having somebody for a month where I'm just, like, Damien Moyet, guys like that, you could teach classes and classes and classes on their material, you know?
It must be great to have the knowledge you have and the know-how that you have to watch these fights and to appreciate what they're doing. Because the general fan, as much as I love it, like, half of the time I don't have a clue what's going on. Like.
Yeah, do you know what? That's probably one of my more attractive things towards coaching, because it is a breakdown of it. Like Owen Roddy does a great thing of it, breaking down the Knights, and the two Gracie brothers do a great breakdown of it as well. And look, I love watching that. I love watching it, and you can see it, because you know, you can understand how the leverage works and stuff like that. So, as I was saying about, like, go back to Barbosa, and, you know, but then it is, you don't want to be the guy, I don't want to be the guy here that's definitely sitting there and saying, like, you should have been doing this, you should have been doing that. But sometimes when you're looking at it, you know, you're always open to be like, well, if you did that, I always lean towards the high percentage stuff, the stuff that's definitely going to work. So I make sure that my guys are doing certain stuff. If you're pushing them against the wall, they're not going to hit the wall and then be like, right, what do I do now? Everything has to have a forced reaction.
So will you be teaching Connor's reverse Michael Flatley shin kick?
I remember him actually. I remember him actually going around the gym throwing that yoke, you know what I mean? And then he landed it. Like, that takes incredible balls, as he said.
Like, he was wide open if he had a... That's down to
making the guy so flinchy, so insecure to throw that you can throw something like that. You know, like, it's, as he said, it takes balls to throw something like that in a live professional martial arts fight. Like, I don't know where people, that's where I suppose we've gotten where he is, you know.
Fortune favours the brave.
He deserves it. And he's an all in guy, you know. And he's like, I want it all.
So UFC 220 the week after this. So Stipe Miocic against Francis Ngannou. You were talking about superstars. A lot of people are saying Ngannou could be the next big superstar.
Well, the thing is, he's not like the man. He hits hard, right? But he's not like this big slow-mo either. You know what I mean? He moves quick, and he has that little bop and flow as well. But it's not like kind of like Roy Nelson overhand right power. You know, if he hits you like, or Dan Henderson, you can kind of see it coming, and then it comes through. Where he's just kind of like, whoa, whoa, and he has like these, and when he hits the people, you see it like going right to their ankles nearly, they're just stiffing up, you know what I mean, straight away. But yeah, it's like, I think he's got, it's going to take a lot to stop him, because he's a physical specimen as well. Like trying to take him down, even without him having much takedown defense, is kind of like trying to take down a baby rhinoceros, you know what I mean? He's a big lad.
So, yeah, his defense isn't the strongest, is it?
Is
his takedown defense? It's not.
No, but he's still a big lad. You know what I mean? You gotta be a good. And I don't think the UFC are gonna stick in just a pinnacle, just a top level wrestler. You know what I mean? Even who have they got at that weight?
Who else is there?
Wrestling wise,
there's not. I mean, Miocic has very much been on top of that division for so long. There's not a lot, is there?
No, I don't think there's not guys going to come in.
I can wrestle, no.
Is that Daniel Cormier's like level, or even Khabib's level? Like that's you know, in wrestling, that's going to be able to kind of trouble him. But like, if you've got a striker that's going to get hit and can't get him down, like say if like Mojic gets hit, and you can't take him down. You're in a situation there. That's where I feel the thing would happen with Khabib. If like the first fight is about not letting Khabib take you down, and then just like beating him up, and that gets wider and wider and more open and open, you know what I mean? And I think that could be the same situation with that boy. Like, how is someone going to knock him out? Like, but maybe, you know what I'm saying? They live by the sword, you die by the sword. So,
yeah.
I mean, going out knocking people out, someday it has to happen.
His style leaves him open to the possibility.
Yeah.
And it's his chin hasn't really been tested yet, has it?
No. But you can just tell by the man. Yeah. It's granite. He was peeling back. And he's got granite under it. And they needed a superstar at that way as well.
Is that picture from the Overeem, that knockout picture of the air, like that's maybe
it looks like someone shot him, doesn't it, from a distance, like life just out of his body, like.
Yeah. It's just like the moment when you realise the game's up. It was like he didn't even realize, he was knocked out, but there was sort of just such a resigned look on his face, like subconscious, like
he's a scaredy, scaredy, scaredy man.
Overeem's a scary, scary man, and he did that to Overeem. Like,
his brother was on a bleeding a show we fought in France, Valentin Overeem. Nicest guys ever, nicest guys you'll ever meet. Now, then you know, like, and they were kind of one of the original guys that were like, pay me. Do you get what I mean? Like, they didn't really mind what promotion they were fighting in, they were floating around just making sure that they were getting paid, where everyone was chasing that. That UFC contract, you know?
Yeah. How do you think that fight's going to go, Miocic and Ngannou?
You can't see it going any other way other than, like, I can't see Miocic like, beating him up. And that's going to have to be his game plan, isn't it? I don't think he's going to go in and try to take him down constantly. And if he gets clipped, you know?
Yeah.
He's definitely going to be snoring.
Yeah.
Like, it's hard to see anything going different against Ngannou, unless I said you get somebody that's got solid wrestling that can take him down, torture him, and make him not out of the energy, you know what I mean? Bring him on them few rounds.
You gonna watch it?
Of course. Yeah, no, I don't stay up and watch them anymore. Can't stay up and watch
them. It's too hard.
Just rounds a whole day. Like, the next day, it'll be in bits. But if I get a chance to kind of sit down and get an hour, I enjoy them now, you know what I mean? I think I enjoy it better that way as well.
Yeah. I think in terms of staying up for it, the last few times I've stayed up for it has been by accident, because you just happen to be up and you're doing stuff and you're like, oh, fight's on in an hour. If you tried
Robin Houses, Robin.
It's like, it's actually Batman.
Yeah, 5 o'clock in the morning. I was just out doing stuff.
Yeah, you know, just stuff, you know.
No, you're doing stuff at 5 o'clock in the morning.
The UFC is the perfect alibi.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, I was there, wasn't I?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I think Joe Rogan to give you an alibi in Hollywood. Yeah, he was watching. Yeah. You've seen him.
Just before we move on from that, if you had to, what was the moment of the year in terms of MMA for you? can be anything. It can be your own personal stuff, or it can be a fight of the year, submission of the year.
I have to say, when I popped straight to my head with that Demetrius Johnson submission.
Yeah.
From the suplex.
Against Ray Borg, wasn't it?
Yeah, Ray Borg, yeah. Like, whoop, suplex into an armbar. That was like the kind of stuff where you're like, it's next level stuff, you know what I mean? Like, this is like in the, this is like a move in a game, you know? Brett Johns' one as well. They're rolling on that calf slicer.
Oh.
You know? So there's some ones that, like, when you see stuff like that, it's very, very rare. You know how hard it is to hit that. And to hear it at that stage and that level is nothing but respect, you know what I mean? You have to.
The thing about that. The Mighty Mouse one, it's one of the few submissions I've seen that looks better in real time than it does in slow motion. Because the whole thing with move was the speed he did it at. It's just...
And even the way that, as I said, it's like a computer game. It's like if you record, like, press the button, boom, it'll go the same way over and over again. But and then obviously would have been Conor fighting Mayweather. That was it. I was more dying to see the climax of that, to be honest, you know what I mean? When's it gonna be over? Because it was a build up for a long, long time. But it's been a huge year. And then on the local scene, one of the best fights I've seen would have been, and loads of people agreeing, would be Richie Smullen and Reese McKee.
Yeah.
Like, cracking fight. Paul Redmond and Norman Park. I was actually lucky to be able to be right beside a cage side for that one. I was doing a bam on that, and that was an incredible fight. Like, some of the fights that happen at, like, the lower level of the thing, but like the national level, if you must, you know, in Ireland and in Europe, some of the fights are incredible, you know what I mean? Because you can tell by styles make the matchups, and there's a lot of guys coming up now that kind of are going to meet, and there's a few exciting matchups in the future. The bubble's going to happen again, I think.
Irish Invasion 2.0.
2.0, yeah. 2.0.
What would you call the second one?
Here we go again. Yeah. Here we go.
If you saw it, it must be weird. Then the next one that happens, you'll be the coach.
Oh yeah, but that is weird. That still doesn't not get weird. You know what
Circle
I mean?
Of life.
Yeah, look, I feel like I'm 22. Yeah. Do you know? Yeah. Do you feel like that's do I? Do I? Yeah. You do after the beard change. It does not suit you. The best shave you can have is don't shave, Shane. You know what I mean? I'm telling you now. You need it. You can tell someone got razors for Christmas.
You're just not used to the paddy.
We're going to have to get the beard back. Yeah. So it suits Damien, doesn't it?
Damien Brown?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Beard.
Those brands, they just grow hair like... like testosterone.
Little Chewbacca's. Yeah.
He looks like he belongs out of like a Viking movie or like 300 or something like that. Yeah,
Warrior King.
He was that lad in your class, wasn't he, that had like... hair and pubes before everybody,
when
you know what I mean?
From the age of 10.
Everyone was praying for hair, and that guy's walking around full man. You know what I mean? We used to hate them kids. Like, he was a ginger kid. He was the last one to arrive at any hair anywhere.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what a comeback. Look at the beard now.
Yeah, that's what someone said to me the other day. When did you grow your beard? When I could. As soon as I could, Mrs. I grew a beard.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like any self-respecting kid. What are you going to do when you grow up? Grow a beard.
Yeah.
That's the first thing on the list.
So we'll just take one general on this week type moment.
Right.
So this was actually last week, but because it was Christmas, I couldn't let it slip by. But it was 30 years since Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles first aired.
Awesome.
The original cartoon.
30 years?
30 years.
Well, that's like, that's still going well.
27 December 1987.
There used to be, do you know what I got for Christmas as well? A Sega Mega Drive.
Oh, wait.
I saw that.
Got a Sega Mega Drive. 80 games on. Now, the control pads are a little bit messed up. Just saying that out there to whoever made that Sega Mega Drive. It's a bit annoying. But I was remember, because you said that about the Turtles. I remember you used to have a Turtles computer game for the Sega Mega Drive. And you used to be able to get down into the shores and stuff like that and all into it. Like, I was a mad Turtles fan.
Really?
I think I had a crush on April O'Neil and all. And she was a cartoon.
Who didn't?
Yeah, it is. It's like, we all did.
Big fan of
But
April.
Then the Turtle film comes out, and April is a cracker.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Perfect. The guys who made that film knew exactly what they were doing, didn't they? But 30 years.
Yeah.
That's incredible. What a story.
Who was your favourite Turtle?
Probably Michelangelo.
Yeah, man. Party dude.
Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? Man, like, why did I always want to eat pizza after that? Didn't you?
Yeah.
You just wanted to eat pizza. And pizza's not like it is in the Turtles. Like, it's stretchy and cheese pizza is just not as exciting as they make it. Domino's should have sponsored that.
They probably would have if it was made nowadays. That's the thing about it. So say, right, you're to take the Irish invasion, right, those fighters on one hand, take the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles on the other hand, and you're to match them up in terms of style, like, who would be who?
Oh, that's a hard one.
Let me give you, I'll give you a bit of context.
And is Rocksteady and Bebop in this as well?
Yeah, you can throw them. You can throw April in if you want as well. And so
Master Splinter's in there somewhere too.
Oh yeah, he's in there too. He's in there.
So I'll read, there's a line from the intro, like, so Leonardo leads, Donatello does machines, Raphael is cool but brood, Michelangelo is a party dude. That might give you a bit more context.
I like it. We don't know, man. That's a hard bleeding question. Well, I say John obviously is the as Splinter. Rocksteady and Bebo. I don't know why, but that reminds me of Philip Mulpier. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Because he just seems like that, and then I don't know, man. That's a hard one.
Who is the leader? It's like Leonardo would be. Well, I know he wasn't part of the Irish invasion, but you were saying Owen Roddy was very much...
Oh, 100%. But he was a huge part of it. So he would have been, like, an end. Yeah, so, you're getting into them. I think... See, the thing is, it could go either way on a few of them. You know what I mean? You don't want to offend anybody.
Yeah.
It could go either way on them. But, like, he wants to be the coolest turtle of them all. That's what it is.
Everyone wants to be Michelangelo.
Yeah, he was the coolest turtle.
I said, when we talked about this off... air with Shane last week. I said you'd be Michelangelo.
Really?
Or you a party dude?
Oh,
you were the night before Christmas anyway.
Oh, before Christmas I was, yeah. And maybe in my younger day. But now, I wouldn't have been... I was out on a few times over Christmas and I'm just not into it anymore. Does that just happen?
Yeah.
Does it?
Oh, big time.
Shit in it? But like, yeah. I just don't enjoy being out really anymore, you know what I mean?
No.
People are just Muppets. Do you know what I mean? People are just, I don't know. People are all cool, right? This is what happens. This is why, especially for me, right? If I'm in somewhere, like, it's all cool. But then 3 or 4 points come in, and then, like, everyone that didn't want to talk to you, or, like, it's like, oh, everyone wants to talk to you. Everyone has, like, there was one situation I was in, I can't even remember the pub, but I'm in the Jacks, and some bloke comes around to me, at, like, we're halfway through the night, he's like, all right, what's the story? You're Paddy Hulan, aren't you? I was like, yeah. And he shakes my hand, and I'll be tired, and he's like, and then, like, I'm drawing my hands, and he comes out, and the same bloke standing, like, over me board, like, you know what I mean? All right, how's it going? And I'm like, that's when we seat there, mate, yeah, and he's like, oh, is this your girlfriend? I'm like, yeah, he's like, oh, no way, man. It's not mad, isn't it? And all of a sudden, man, I'm standing here, and we're having a 10-minute pointless conversation with somebody, and I'm politely just asking them to get the fuck out of the way of me point, mate. You know what I mean? You're shaking your dandruff all over me point, and it's freaking me out.
This is something I meant to ask you, because obviously Christmas time, you see everybody that you've ever known your whole life out in the same space.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of people, like, because even for the likes of myself, who, like, you both played professional. So if Shane's out in Drogheda, everyone knows who he is because he played professional rugby. If you're out, everyone knows. But for someone like me, who isn't famous, has none of this. Like, if I'm out and I'm like, I feel like a celebrity because people are coming up to you and you're like, who the hell are they? And you're just trying to humor them. So what is it like if you're an actual, like, you know, star or whatever? And there must be magnitude by 50,000 or something. Like,
but people know, you know what I mean? Like, you know yourself, like, if you're being a dickhead, you're being a dickhead. And you usually know, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, and most of the people I encounter, man, I'm lucky, you know what I mean? I see people on, that are not so lucky, you know what I mean? Where people decide to just fucking take the piss out of people all the time. I don't. I literally, people just want to get a picture with you, and I'm pretty all right like that, so I'm kind of grateful. But then there is a scale, as I said, though, where, like, I could imagine what it'd be like to be in Free City or being something like that. Like, we're in MMA fighters, and guys will, like, come up to you and be like, buzz off you, and, like, with a guy the other day, I'm going to the garage or something, he's like, do you want to step out, Paddy? Do you want to get knocked? And I'm like, you better man, you better back down or you'll be a man down. You know what I mean? And it's like, and it's, but like, imagine what it'd be like to be someone like, just an actor in Fair City or something like that. Like, I'd say them poor people get awful abuse. Like, I got a message, right? I won't say it, so I'll read it out to you, right, boys? This is some of the abuse, but this is how I react to it as well. It's classic, right? And I was going to post it back, but then sometimes I just don't, you know what I mean? I leave it. Someone sent me a message, right? Said, only a mother could love that face, Paddy, you ugly ginger scrotum.
That's horrible.
Out of nowhere, right? And then last night I was sitting there and I was like, look, I find it funny, you know what I mean? And I say it to some of the kids as well that I teach, because they're in the same, they're in a situation where in school they get slagged and they don't have to deal with it. But then I was thinking about this, I was like, a moment in a film came back to me. I'm trying to get it to load here.
You know what I'm talking about. Yeah, you're a loser. You're mad at your dad.
You're mad at me.
I forgive you.
I forgive you. I hate my father.
Oh my God.
That has to be these people that decide. Like, because it's not like you're having a message with somebody and all of a sudden they decide to go left on you. They go into the search bar, they put your name in, and they text you something abusive. Yeah. Now, as I said, we're MMA fighters and people will still do that. What the fuck happens to people that just literally... Yeah, it has to be some sort of law made, because I find it funny. It doesn't affect me. But I can imagine people that it does. You know what I mean? Not people that you talk to, and you could affect them. And people got allowed to just say what they fucking want to people, which is pretty messed up. So when I'm out, as I said, I'm lucky. But you do get the odd guy that decides to say something stupid to you. There was one time I was out, and I'm telling you, it's a horrible situation. I'm sitting down and my girlfriend's on another side, and there's like two or three people talking to me. I'm trying to just kind of push them away and go back to having a night out with your girlfriend. And some bloke just walks down off the steps and sits beside Chelsea, all right? And then he picks up his phone, right? And he's like this. And I thought he's like sitting there doing a selfie, and I'm like fucking, and he kind of snapped a little bit. And I got up and I was like, and I kind of like kind of knocked his phone out of the way. And I was like, get the fuck out of here, fuck off. And he's like, what? And she's like, no. And I'm like, what? And I was like, like, you don't just walk down the stairs and take a picture with someone's board. And he's like, no, I was checking the time on my phone. And he was. And I'm like, oh, shit. And I'm like, sorry about that. Like, I'm not like that, you know what I mean? But it was just that night I was getting, like, antsy about the whole thing. Because it was just, you're trying to be out on a night out and you're just trying to do your own thing. Like I said, some people are, like, guys, I'd buy a guy a bottle of beer at the bar. They'd buy me one. And that's kind of the way the night will go. But then you get some guys that literally... What do you think about this? What do you think about... And then Connor, obviously, the questions are, like, should he do this? And then you get guys that probably, they'd say something nasty about him or something like that. And they'd be like, listen, mate, relax. Like, I don't give a fuck what your opinion is, but don't come up and be saying opinions about someone that you're friend, or we consider a friend, you know what I mean? It's annoying. It is annoying.
Those kind of... We used to call them rugby circles, potholes.
I like it.
What do you do when you see a pothole?
Dodge it.
Exactly.
Yeah, and how do you recognise a pothole?
Well, yeah, I'd say you're fairly good at recognising them now, Paddy. Yeah? Those kind of guys that are just kind of, listen, I'll talk to you, but don't talk to me for 50 minutes.
There must be fucking moles in my field, man, because they're everywhere.
You were saying, though, you're quite good at, like, let people coming up, you let them get a picture and all that, shake their hands, whatever, humour them. Has that ever happened and then a person walks off and you're like, oh, actually, wait, that's my best friend. That's my best friend from 3 years ago.
My mates won't get it. Like, my mates, like, well, I'm not getting a picture with you. Fuck off. And people will be like, one of my mates is a plumber and he's never, ever got a picture with me and people don't believe him. Like, he's my son's godfather. And like, people, he's like, I'm mates with Paddy Ullahan. One of his apprentices was coming up, he's coming to do a job on my house, and he's like, and I opens the door, he comes in, Macca, and then his apprentice is like nearly shaking right at the door. And he comes in, he's like, and Macca turns around to me, I told you, didn't I? I told you. I told him we were coming to do a job in your house today. And he's wetting himself all day. Will you give him a hug or something? You know what I mean? And my man's just panicking all day. And Macca's like winding this poor kid up to death, he is. You know what I mean? Yeah. He's like, yeah, you get no autograph if you don't get it. You know what I mean? If you don't have this up here in 4 minutes or not, abusing the poor kid he was. But he wouldn't. He wouldn't get a picture with you even say anything. He'd just be like, no.
It's the most Irish thing ever.
He's fucking right. Yeah. He's on the ball. I would do the same thing myself.
You probably appreciate him more. That's your real friends, though, isn't it?
100%. Yeah. They don't give a fuck. Yeah. They will bring you back down. You can be any who you want. Your real friends will bring you back down.
Yeah.
Irish culture, boy.
I think that's it, isn't it?
I think so, yeah. I think so.
Right,
think
so normal service
resumes. That was it, yeah. Normal service resumes. We had to get that out of the way because, as I said, people, it's not like an MMA podcast. It's not. It's an every podcast. Yeah. It's a bit of crack is what it is, podcast.
Yeah, doing it specific, I suppose, something like this on your Lemur account from, I suppose, next week. Yeah, we're touching base with the
we'll touch a little bit of base on this, and every now and again we think we go in and out because, as I said, there's a good few kind of ideas of guys that, and you don't, we don't want anybody in, don't get anybody in, Shane, that we don't want to talk to.
That's the trick.
Don't do that. Unavoid them ones, all right? But the pit day, people coming in over the next day.
No potholes.
No potholes allowed. Yeah. That's what I'm gonna do. Pothole. No, the guys that so over the next few weeks we've got a few guys. As I said, I'm dying to sit down and have a chat with John Phillips. I want to see what's going on and what's operating the wheels behind that. You know what I mean? We have Willie White as well. So Willie White's coming in, awesome comedian from Ballymun, lives in the penthouse top floor. He's a good guy. He is. So yeah, and we get back to it. We'll be back to you next week, episode 7 in the bag.